Welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. This week, we're going to be talking about a comic book series that I think is near and dear to all three of us here who are in virtual studio today. It's about being on the outside. It's about fighting against fascism and hatred and all sorts of different prejudices. It's the X-Men. And to play this week on the show, we have two remarkable guests who are not in Denver, not nearby me, but near and dear in various ways. I dare say that I love them both. We have.
I'm sorry.
Well, we'll start with Elliot since Elliot seemed confused about my love. So our first guest is Elliot Edwards, host of the Inept Supervillains podcast, among other things. Elliot, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm touched that I got love.
Oh yeah, man. Come on. Like I listen to your show at least every other episode. I'm not going to claim that I do every single one, but like I like the conversations you guys get into.
We can be kind of heavy sometimes, so I get where people might want to, all right, no, I don't want to hear about this subject today.
I mean, sometimes I like the heavier episodes more than the not heavy ones, because, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think the beauty of podcasts is, and especially kind of all the podcasts we do, is getting, like, I don't live in Chicago. I don't have your life experience, and it gives me a window into that in a very specific and interesting way. So,
yeah that's so, what we so try to do.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. So welcome to the show. I'm going to start just by asking you, what is your, like, what's your connection to the X-Men?
My connection to the X-Men, a friend of mine who, when I was young, got me into collecting comics. He gave me a bag of them, various ones, but they were the ones I connected with the most. It was around the time where Storm took over the team.
Right on.
And growing up black in Chicago, it connected with me, the racial struggle of everything. I connected with the character that you guys, but the listeners can't. I have a poster of my favorite X-Men Magic on my wall behind me. And and an X-Men tattoo. And it's just, I credit Chris Claremont's X-Men and the rap group Public Enemy, and maybe some Benny Hill, for keeping me out of drugs and gangs.
Right on. Because you were able to run away from drugs and gangs to the...
I got a letter from the government the other day. It was an old man staring at the titties. It was that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes. Exactly.
Our other guest this week is my co-publisher at Spaceboy Books, my dear friend, my, I don't know, life partner from another mother. I don't even know how to describe you, Sean, but Sean Grokowski, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Hi. That's me.
It is. It's you.
Nate does all the work. All that happens is he's like, hey, you like this book? I'm like, we should change the title. Like,
No, you're doing your share. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So what about you? What was your, like, what's your X-Men thing? Like, what grabbed you about the X-Men?
Well, do you remember getting an allowance? Did you guys get an allowance at some point in your lives?
Oh yeah, definitely.
My allowance was like $1 a week. Like, I was in Alcatraz, and comic books at that time, this would have been 90, were $1 cover value. So I got into X-Factor really strong. And when they, right at the end of the, when Claremont was writing X-Factor, when Nate gets sent into the future, and then they switched the team and it was Peter David and Larry Stroman. And I was like, fascinated by Larry Stroman's art, which is like really idiosyncratic and something you don't see very often. He doesn't work a whole lot anymore. But and then they raised the cover price to $1.25, and I had to negotiate a quarter raise on my allowance. And they also, I don't know if you guys remember this, at grocery stores they would have digest size Marvel collections.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bunch of Claremont ones, and it was always like, and Alec and I make this joke all the time, in some variation or not, of the X-Men getting together and playing some kind of sport. They're always playing softball or always playing basketball. Like, it was so you could get into these character moments. But they were always constantly playing some kind of pickup sport in front of the mansion.
Well, you have that palatial estate and those grounds. Like, it makes sense that you know, and it's a school ultimately. Like, they should be doing kids shit sometimes.
Yeah, and then of course I just started getting into back issues, and I don't know. It's like Ellie said. I think it was probably the Claremont thing. Now going back and reading them now, it's fun to just see how just verbose those things are.
Right.
But I think a lot of us probably picked up a lot of our vocabulary. That's definitely where we learned what the word Gestapo meant.
Oh yeah,
was from the first Genosha arc. I remember asking my father like what a Gestapo was, and he's like, "It's Gestapo, you fucking idiot! I know you're 9. Get out of here."
Well, yeah, it's. I mean, that's the thing about the X-Men is it is so like it is so directly Antifa in every single page. Even Magneto is Antifa. Like it's all that fucking thing. Anyway. My entry into the X-Men is way more basic than both of yours because I really only got into it because of the X-Men animated series that was on Fox Saturday mornings in like 1991 to 1994. But that was how I really got into it, and then it became that, you know, journey of just checking out as many books as I could. I certainly haven't read everything, but I have a lot of old like those like Scholastic collections of character profiles and everything.
And
I just, it's always meant something to me because it's always been a higher social purpose too, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. The cartoon was a good way to get in.
Yeah. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, how crazy it was like that the writers of that show could condense like years of a storyline into like 2 episodes, like how trim they made those stories is pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, and I remember how kind of, I mean, it was eye-opening for me as a kid because I'm thinking like I was probably 10, 11, 12 in that range when that show premiered, and it was really, it's a very grown-up show. Like, Morph dies in like the 3rd episode or something, and you know, and that's like a big fucking deal. So, it's very interesting.
Damn, I feel old.
I'm not, I mean,
you're only a couple years older than we are, right? You're what, like 42, 43?
Bless your hearts, I'm 47.
Okay. So, I mean, we're 40, so it's not that far off.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of like, difference. Like
I was 12 when I saw it. I'm like, I could vote when I saw it.
a kid that worked for me a couple months back, I was trying to explain to him what 1-800-COLLECT was, but then I had to explain to him what a long-distance phone call was.
Oh, gosh.
Like, wait a second. You used to have to pick up a thing, and it
like your point of reference is like now like 8 degrees removed from where we need to be.
Yeah, it's really weird living in a time when we all experience everything completely differently, or at least could have to great degree. So anyway, so good. Welcome to the show, guys. We're gonna get started with the first round. This is kind of just the opening question, and that is, which X person would you be and why? And the best answer is going to get the most points. So, Elliot, we'll start with you. Which X person would you be, would you want most to be, and why?
Oh, who would I want to be?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's like, yeah, who would you want to be? With reasoning. Because, I mean, there are people who, like, it could be interesting to be, but you wouldn't want to be them because it would suck, ultimately. And, yeah. So, go ahead.
Damn. Wasn't prepared for that. Who would I actually want to be? Not who I identify with. Not who's my favorite character. Who would I want to be? And I would probably have to go with Gambit.
Okay. And why Gambit?
Cool.
Okay. I'm into that.
He had red eyes, man. Cajun. Yeah. He played a big part in the Mutant Massacre. It was kind of fucked up. But still, he was just the coolest, stylized. He wore a long leather coat even when it was hot out.
That's he had how that cool trench that coat.
Was.
He had those like shin guards rocking.
Oh, yeah. I really hope they never let, what's that Magic Mike dude?
Oh, Channing Tatum?
They should never let him play Gambit. I hope that never happens.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's canceled. It's yes. It's probably not going to go anywhere. Yeah, Sean, which X person would you want to be and why?
I want to be Forge because he gets to fuck up all the time and either gets promoted or brought back into the group. He literally almost ended the entire world with the adversary thing, and he got to fuck Storm on the reg for how long? Like, he's got a power that doesn't require him to be actually in the fight very often. Yeah, he's like a really high-paid special teams player.
Yeah, yeah.
As you said, he fucks up so much.
He's never done anything good, but they keep him around forever. He made the depowering ray. Like I said, he literally almost ended the world in that adversary storyline. He fucked up X-Factor. I think he got Havoc blown up that one time at the end of that X-Factor run.
Yeah, that's a good bet. Talk about failing upwards.
Yeah, he was part of the Freedom Force, like which was like the mutant hunting arm of the government. And didn't he also date Mystique? And also he's got magical powers. Like, he has every kind of power. Like, he's kind of a dancing kind of machine. Yeah, he's a shaman, and he's like a technopath.
Yeah, so he kind of covers all the he's a perfect sort of narrative convenience character. Anything can happen with Forge.
Yeah. Plus, he also got to wear the Mirror Island costume like pretty much his whole career, and it's the best X-Men costume.
It is absolutely the best X-Men costume. You've been public about this before, Sean, and it absolutely is.
Yeah, I will die on that hill.
All right, great job. Elliot, I'm going to give you 2 points, and Sean, I'm going to give you 3 points, and we're going to move on to round one, and we're going to start with Sean. So, Sean, do you have a vague idea about Senator Robert Kelly?
Yeah, I he gets brought up on our podcast a lot. Whenever something is gelatinous or just hideous, he looks like Senator Kelly from X-Men. Senator Kelly goes back quite a ways. He's in the the Days of Future Past. He's the catalyst for that storyline.
Right.
Where in the movie it was a bit different, but in the book they send her consciousness back to present day to stop his assassination. And I want to say he was also involved with the MRA, the Mutant Registration Act, but that I'm not sure about. He's been kind of a loose antagonist, but always ends up getting saved by the X-Men or somebody, or not murdered at the very end. I think that's happened in a few different arcs.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, that was very good. Elliot, do you have anything to add on Senator Robert Kelly?
Yeah, he would be played by Mike Pence in a perfect world. Looks like Mike Pence, has the same attitude as Mike Pence. In the storyline, God love, man kills, he points at Nightcrawler and goes, "Demons are good, look at him, that's a fucking demon." And then Kitty Pryde dropped the N-word and then it got messy. But
yeah, that's real.
Like, yeah, he's always been that government foil of the year. Did I use foil collectively? I don't know.
No, yeah.
When I was younger, I'd always get him and Henry Gierek tied up. Even though I think Gierek's more of like an Avengers character, but he was in those X-Men books a lot in that era.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really covered it well. I mean, he's sort of that government anti-mutant platform antagonist that is pervasive across multiple runs of X-Men in various different ways. Go ahead.
Nate, you'll get a kick out of this. Valerie Cooper, do you know that name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
She's another like government liaison character. She implies that she is the brother of or the sister of Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks in an issue of X-Factor.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's amazing, and that's a wonderful world tie-in. I like that a lot.
I swear, you movie to podcast guys are going to make me start watching Twin Peaks, and I really don't appreciate it.
I hope you'll like it. I think you will like it.
Just to understand your memes you post.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they get to mixing them with The Simpsons, and I'm like, what the fuck does this even mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the point.
We swim in deep water.
Yeah.
He's just a big antagonist guy, and he was, you know, later married to Sharon, who I guess was a maid for the Hellfire Club. All sorts of tie-ins. He's just the government face of badness. Good job. You're each getting 1 point. Well done on that. And now we're going to go back to Elliot for round two. Okay.
Round two.
Do you have a vague idea about Morph? I mentioned him earlier. Do you have a vague idea about him?
Yes. He was an original X-Man that supposedly died right away, had the ability to morph. Well, it's kind of weird. The original Morph in the comics can emulate powers, whereas Morph in the cartoon changed his appearance, if I was correct. There was one time in the 90s when the X-Men had to go look for Morph in the Arctic. And when they found him, he had all the combined abilities of the original X-Men. Cyclops, Optic Blast, Angel's Wings, Iceman's Ice.
Old Cold Heart.
Yeah, the Beast Feet. Yeah, he was just this big amalgamation and pretty damn insane of the original X-Men.
Right on. Very good. Sean, Morph?
I don't know a ton more about him. I do know that his government name is Calvin Rankin because my mom bought me like the X-Men role-playing source book, thinking it was a comic book, but she didn't really speak English. And so I always remember that name as being really stupid and it stuck out. And I want to say the Morph from the cartoon was like a Harley Quinn or a Renee Montoya, where they ended up writing him into the comic books, like in Exiles or something, way after the fact, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, what I know about it, so there was originally like a character called Changeling who I think had most of the power absorbing ability. And then there was Morph from the animated series who just basically he was just a disguise guy. And then yeah, Morph dies in like episode 2 of the animated series. They bring him back as like brainwashed evil version of the X-Men. He's allied with the bad guys, with the government. And then, yeah, it's just he's sort of this interesting character because I think it's one of those like you make somebody who's kind of OP and then you don't know what to do with them. So you relegate them back.
I always thought that Darwin from the from what's his name's run on there, the fucking second Genesis, help me out with. I thought Darwin was supposed to be kind of like a riff on Morph, but I'm not sure.
Interesting. I'm looking it up real quick here.
Yeah, there's a whole contingent of people who just hate the fact that Darwin died in that movie. It's like his power is he adapts to everything. He can't die. They had to kill the one black character somehow. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, hey, we already got Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Let's not go crazy.
She's pretty.
Black people, one movie. Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched her new show yet.
No, I haven't, but her mother's holding up remarkably well. Like, she's like,
oh, yeah, she is one of my long-time crushes.
Yeah, I think I'm half her age, and I look like a pile of wet trash, and she looks fantastic.
Although, one time on you guys' show, you kind of said Jason Momoa could do better, and I'm like, better than Lisa Bonet?
Well, not better. But he could do a lot. Like, if I was Jason Momoa, I would never get married. I would have, like, every STI. Like,
all right, let's move on, Nate.
I mean, I think we...
Jason, if I was Jason Momoa, I'd be, like, the killer's dad in Wanted, where it's like, I just fuck dudes every once in a while just to make sure I still don't like it.
I mean, if we take commercials for reality, Jason Momoa is actually a skinny, bald man. And that's funny for some reason. Were you thinking of Ed Brubaker's run, Sean?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, I was able to find that. Great job on Morph. Elliot, 2 points. Sean, 1 point. And it's time to play a game. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. So, Sean, we're going to start with you. This week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have your choice between an array of Professors X, Patrick Stewart, James McAvoy, and Harry Lloyd, who plays Charles Xavier on the show Legion. So, Sean, who would you fuck, who would you marry, and who would you kill?
Well, I got to marry Stewart because of the Next Generation crossover. Plus, he's old, so he ain't going to last too long anyway. I don't know if you saw any of the Picard show, but he is like being held together with cotton batting at this point. I'd fuck McAvoy, especially after that he was in Split and he's all yoked up.
Beef boy.
The other guy, yeah, he is unbelievably ripped. And he was really good in The Last King of Scotland. So the other guy I'm not super familiar with. I didn't make it through all of Legion. Not that I didn't like it. I just kind of lost the beat with it and just never picked it back up.
It's kind of tough with the shows. Like, I find myself with a lot of these shows, whether they're Marvel or DC, kind of just like, I just run out of gas, because it's like, after a couple of episodes of the conceit, you realize, like, oh, they have a TV budget, so there's going to be episodes that are just like, we're sitting in this room to talk for an hour, and it's not that good.
Yeah, they always
because
way overspend on the pilots, and then it kind of filters out. The few episodes I saw of it, I really liked. You know how it is, though. You just get distracted and just never get back to things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure. Okay, good. Good. Elliot, how are you going to do with this? Who are you going to fuck?
Of course you're going to marry Patrick Stewart, because he's Patrick Stewart. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I would kill McAvoy, because I hate all of those X-Men movies.
Okay. Wow.
I hate, as I hate hell all McAvoy's, I hate those movies so goddamn.
You don't even like First Class?
The only X-Men movie I will say I like from beginning to end, not counting Deadpool, the very first one I thought was all right. The second one was all right too. Okay. So yeah, combine them together, one good X-Men movie.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
and then,
I don't think you're wrong, but
what about, does Logan count?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, Logan should count. That's a good movie.
Okay, yeah. That's okay. I mean, teen movies.
Sure.
Okay, X-Men teen movies. Because, yes, Logan was amazing. And then I'd fuck the guy from Legion, because I never watched season two of Legion.
Okay.
And I feel bad about that, because Aubrey
Plaza?
Plaza is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
In every way.
Great. I mean, good job. You guys both get 3 points for that. I think you both answered it exactly correctly.
I just can't imagine anybody.
What you're saying.
I can't imagine anybody not marrying Patrick Stewart. Like, it'd be a weird kind of psychological profile.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, like, I guess if we were going to roll it back and be like, oh, you can pick like any era Patrick Stewart and do other stuff, but you don't want to kill him in any case. Like, he should never be a kill.
Give me a weird Dune Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, there you go. with just weird Dune Sting watching the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I do have a soft spot for that movie, even though I objectively know it's not a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, it has its moments. Like, that's the thing. It's just such a weird, you know, and a weird ambitious big swing of a movie that didn't quite come together. Yeah. So great job, guys. That was 3 points each. And now we're going to go into round three. And for round three, we're going to roll the dice to find out how we're multiplying the points. And it turns out we rolled a one, so it's just normal points. Wow, that was boring.
Story of my life,
what a wasted effort.
but yeah, so we'll start with Elliot. Elliot, round three, we're going to talk about video games for round three and four. So do you have a vague idea about X-Men versus Street Fighter?
Yes. It's a game where characters who are from the X-Men fought characters from Street Fighter.
It was made
by Capcom and on various platforms.
Yeah, great. That's very true. Sean, anything to add?
Yeah, it was the Sega Saturn version. You actually had to have a separate cartridge for RAM to get it to run correctly. Otherwise, it would drop frames of animation. I want to say it's also the only game where Omega Red's a playable character, but that might be Marvel Super Heroes, because it was Marvel Super Heroes and then X-Men versus Street Fighter and then Marvel Capcom, I think, is how it went.
Yeah, you're right on the order. Omega Red appears in Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Okay.
As a playable character. That gave birth to probably one of my favorite fighting game series of all time, other than the fact that Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is boring, and they abandoned it immediately after it didn't sell super well. But Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a great game. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is phenomenal.
I still have a Dreamcast.
Yeah, I mean, I have... Jenny bought me the PlayStation 2 disc of the game, so I still have my old like mini PS2 that's just tucked in a drawer that I could play that sometime if I wanted to.
Is
bust
that
it
the
out.
One where you were teams of three and got to swap out?
Yeah, teams of three, super ultra finishing moves, like weird characters.
Cable has a psychic spear that I was not aware that he had. I don't know if they made that for the game.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, Ellie, you remember Ahab, right? Like, from the Days of Future Present. Remember, like, the implication was that he was Cable?
I don't remember that part.
You remember where he grabs it? Oh, this is getting way deep in the weeds. But like,
get in him.
At the end of that annual series, Cable grabs his harpoon, and it doesn't, like, burn him the way it does everybody else. And Ahab's like, what's the matter? You see somebody you recognize?
I fucking remember that. Whoa.
Yeah. That was Art Adams. That was one of the, like, I don't know, 12 actual issues of X-Men he actually drew, the whole issue.
I'm sorry. I'm having a moment. Damn.
Yeah. I think somebody told me they brought Ahab back recently in some of the comics, but I haven't kept up with it.
Well, what they're doing now, they're bringing everybody back.
Oh, shit. We're out of ideas, boys.
Yeah. Bring them all in. Go through the deck. I mean, I just think, I honestly, like, that, I don't know, how connected to that video game are either of you? Like, I mean, are you guys into Marvel Capcom
really
crossovers?
Fan.
No? Okay.
And Street Fighter was one of my favorite games, and X-Men. Yeah, I'm like, why don't I love this? I should love this.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Huh. Okay.
But sure. I did take the three Weapon X characters all the way up to Galactus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One. Deadpool, Wolverine, and X-23.
Yeah, that is a good group, too, because you've got, like, varying speed, and also, you know, Deadpool has all the fun fourth wall breaking finishing.
Yeah, and
stuff,
when
so
he gets to yelling bang while he's shooting, and
yeah.
X-23, like, I'm the second best there is at what I do. And, yeah.
Right on. Sean, connection to it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm a big 2D fighting game person anyway, and those games, like, I did... Like, the Dreamcast for me was, like, my ultimate system because it had, like, all the King of Fighters games. It had Street Fighter Third Strike. It had that. I mean, I wasted, like, so many hours on those games. So, yeah, I'm, like, way deep in the weeds on it.
Yeah. Yeah. MVC2 is, like...
Yeah, MVC2 has, like, an impossible earworm theme song that, like, if you're probably thinking about it right now. And
yeah.
You're thinking about it forever.
I'm going to take you for a ride. Which, when you talk about disparate music for a game where it's like, now go beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Great job. Sean, 2 points. Elliot, 1 point. And round 4 is another video game. Sean, we're going to start with you. Do you have a vague idea about the Uncanny X-Men?
The LJN Nintendo game?
That, yeah, absolutely. Well done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I begged my mother to spend 60 Earth dollars in 1992?
Yeah.
Is that when it came out? Might have been earlier than that?
I think it could have been 89. I'm going to double check, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might not have gotten it till 1992. I remember the box was black with, like, an X-Men, like, kind of drawing in the middle of it, kind of with a triangle border. It was... Cyclops, Wolverine, Iceman, Colossus, Storm, maybe, were the playable characters.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you got them.
You had to play two at a time. All the power-ups looked like giant cinnamon rolls or those things from Legend of Zelda that ate your shield.
Yeah.
The characters would get stuck on fences all the time, and you couldn't get anywhere. Iceman just shot, like, square. I mean, you couldn't – if you didn't know – like, if you weren't really into it, you would not be able to identify what was going on, like, what these characters were. It was a lot like the vertically scrolling level of the LJN other game, Back to the Future, where it's this forced, like, Y-axis scrolling. It is a video game in, like, the most technical sense of the word. Like, it is just, like, utter trash.
Yeah, it is not really a game at all. Elliot, do you have a vague idea about that game? You ever play it? You familiar with it?
No, it wasn't based off the arcade game, was it?
No, I mean, I think it was trading heavily on love for the arcade game.
Okay,
but it was not based off that at all.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played that. I guess I'm happy I.
Do yourself a favor and, like, go on YouTube and see if they have it with the volume on so you can hear these shrill, like, awful sound effects that it has. It'll kill you.
It is so bad. Oh, my God. It was an NES game. Yeah.
Cyclops' optic blast sounded like a transmission going bad in, like, fifth gear. Just this, like, screech.
Yeah.
It was atrocious.
Yeah, the sound design was terrible. It's completely like it's an overhead game. You walk pretty much just straight north. All of the characters have the same model and then just basically slightly different colorations. Nightcrawler is the only character that you didn't list, Sean. And then, yeah, it's just you're just walking around. You fight Boomerang, Sabretooth, Juggernaut, the White Queen, and Magneto.
You know, a famed X-Men villain, Boomerang.
Right. And the game is just impossibly difficult, too. Like, it was just not... You could not play it and have fun. You'd have to just keep restarting, and that's pretty much what I remember. I remember going to, like, one of those used video game stores that was not a GameStop because it didn't exist, and playing it for maybe 15 minutes and going, oh, this... I will never have fun with this. And it was not... Awful. It just wasn't fun. I mean, it was, you know... It was very utilitarian. LJN... a known video game developer of, like, properties that didn't deliver on the quality at all.
I want to say, besides the fighting games, and even, like, Mutant Academy was good, the only good X-Men video games were the Legends games. Like, I think that was it. Every other one that has not been a 2D fighting game has been trash.
Yeah, and I haven't played any of the Legends games. I probably should have checked them out, but, like, the only other one I remember is there was a Super Nintendo game that was based on the animated series designs. But it was like, okay, you get to pick which X-Man you want to be, but you have to play the level associated with the character. And some of the levels were impossible. So you just go, oh, cool. I can't, like, I want to be Cyclops, but I can't do it.
Oh, I forgot. I stepped on my dick for a second. The two Genesis X-Men games were good. The one, the Genesis exclusive X-Men, and X-Men 2, the Clone Wars, I think it's called.
Yeah, that especially that first one. I remember my buddy growing up had a Genesis, and he had that game, and it was just fun to be Nightcrawler because you could just bounce all over the screen.
Yeah,
because it was like a side-scrolling platformer.
A game where you actually had to press the reset button on the Genesis to advance the plot. Like, it's like, reset the computer now. Like, nobody knew that.
I had that game. Wow. I'm like, I don't remember. Oh, I remember that part.
Yeah, that's like that, and that was probably one of the earliest sort of like fourth wall breaks in video games, because the other one was like, it's not Eternal Dark, it's another, now I can't remember what that game, there was a game on the GameCube that was that, where it just like would screw with your TV, and it would just, you know, as you went mad, because it was a Lovecraftian sort of game, and I always loved that conceit too. I wish more games did that, where they just said like, hey, your TV's off, sorry, you're done playing, and then come back on in 5 minutes and just spook you. Like, I don't know. I don't have anything better to do. Make me live.
Make me live, video game. Make me
do it. Great job. Elliot, 1 point. Sean, 2 points. And we're going to go into our next game. It's time for the second game. We're going to play Minor Mutants. Okay, so each of you are going to get 3 names of mutants that either are real X-Men or X-Men adjacent mutants or someone I made up. And you just have to tell me whether they are or they aren't. So, Sean, we'll start with you on this one. Your first one is Brew, B-R-O-O. Is that a real X-Man or something I made up?
Is it like a baby brood alien that they had as a pet at some point?
I mean...
I want to say yes, it's real.
It is real. Yeah, you're right. That is correct. Now I got to find it on the thing. Brew.
The Brood and the X versions of all their big villains and had them living in the X mansion. Hey, look, it's Kid Apocalypse. I'm like, why?
Or what was the baby Magneto that Moira made?
So, yeah. Brew is a... A Leave It to Beaver style brood character. Jean Grey's school's prize student. And he was voted most likely to become a flesh-eating killer. So there you go.
Yeah, that's about right.
Very good, Sean. Very good. Okay, your second one. Your second one, Sean, is Dr. Cecilia Reyes.
Oh, for sure. She's real.
Very good.
No, that wasn't. Cecilia Reyes was the mutant cure one, right? Who was? I'm getting mixed up with. Remember when they had that tennis pro that worked at the mansion for a while? Elliot, remember?
Vaguely.
She was like friends with Jean and Storm, but she's in that like when the Extinction Agenda, she pops up in there. Stevie Hunter, that's her name.
Yeah, I remember her.
Hunting down Stevies. Yeah, Cecilia Reyes has the ability to cast force fields to protect herself and others.
She's supposed to be in the New Mutants movie if that ever comes out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll see if there are ever movies again. I mean, what happens if there's nowhere to watch
it? Release that shit on Disney Plus and get it over with.
Right? Get to
it. Put on VHS. I'll go get a VCR. Like, now they've, like, I wanted to see it anyway, but they've made this weird, like, where I have to find some way to see this movie now just because I can't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, your third one, Blue Balls. Is that a real X-Men mutant or not?
No, but there is one named Gold Balls.
That's very good. Yeah, that's who I based Blue Balls off of. So I'm glad you knew that one. Good job. Good job.
Okay. I'm sad I knew that.
Funny thing is, you know what Gold Balls balls are?
Here we go.
They've recently discovered that they're eggs. And that's partly how they're bringing back all the dead mutants.
Oh, this is the Hickman stuff.
Yeah, on the Hickman run.
Okay, yeah.
While they're living on Krakoa, they'll inject that dead mutant's DNA in the balls.
I mean, that's where some DNA comes from. So, yeah.
And then plant them inside Krakoa womb, and dead mutant, no matter good or bad, comes out.
Nate, you should, you should pick up the Hickman X-Men stuff. The cool. Recent stuff.
It's good. Very good.
I'm writing it down. I'm going to do it. I'm going to track it down.
Do it.
Is it House of X and Powers of X?
Yes, that's the first book. You could buy them in one trade paperback together.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll go down to – there's a really cool comic shop here called Mutiny that they've just got everything, and I'll go down and grab some stuff. I've been meaning to do it anyway. Okay. Great job, Sean. You did very well on your three. I think you got all three of them correct. So, Elliot, it's your turn.
Now I'm nervous.
Are the Stepford Cuckoos real mutants or something I made up?
Yes, they're real mutants.
All right. Very good.
I believe they're clones of Emma Frost, the White Queen.
That is correct, yeah. Yeah, they're her little entourage. No,
yeah, Sophie, Esme, and there were five of them. One died, one went evil, three joined Emma Frost. And we're X-Men, and now Emma Frost's not an X-Men anymore, but they still hang around Emma Frost.
Right on. Yeah, very good.
That Weapon Plus program from all that, like the end of the Morrison run?
I think they might have been. There was a rumor that they were clones of Emma and Captain America.
Okay.
But that I think sense. That kind of got ixnayed.
See, I want that kind of stuff to show up in movies, though. That would be interesting.
That would be awesome.
Give me just a cool, like, thriller movie about the creation of the clones of other characters that don't even have to show up.
Yeah, when Marvel didn't have the movie rights to the X-Men, they just let them fall to the wayside. And
yeah. I mean, hopefully we get out of all this and we'll see some good X-Men movies.
Please, before the world falls apart, let me get one good X-Men team movie and a New Mutants movie.
You're getting a Jared Leto Joker movie, so it's the next best thing.
Right? Why is that even happening? My mind is boggled that that's
happening. They're making a Jared Leto Joker movie?
Yeah, they announced it yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
See, I haven't been on Facebook or any kind of media lately other than Instagram because, you know, Instagram models are hot. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a few like Facebook ads about it and I read about it and I was like, really? I don't know. I don't know why you would. I don't know who's sitting around thinking like, okay, this the Todd Phillips version of this movie surprised people. So let's steer back into a really weird, annoying portrayal that everybody has been critical of since the tiny bit of it happened in an
awful
movie. You think
they'll do an Ayers cut of Suicide Squad?
I don't know if Ayers cut exists. Yeah, like maybe. I want to see that Snyder cut. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah,
I'll watch it. I'm not going to say I'm excited to see it.
Well, it's going to be bad, but I just want to see if it's more coherent. Like, if it's a better, like, flowing narrative than the Justice League movie. Like, it almost has to be.
I want to see the Ayers cut of Suicide Squad, the version that they had to have psychiatrists talk to all the actors because it was so dark. I want to see that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, release the cuts, people. We're demanding it on this podcast.
My favorite was, I think TJ mentioned it, it was the release the Landis cut of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, shit. I want that whole Vic Morrow segment. I want to see
Ouch.
It. Good Lord, yeah. That still goes down as like just one of the, I mean, that it just makes me feel sad when I think about it. Because it's just such an incredible, like, dick-swinging abuse of people's rights and safety.
And he got away with it. Like, nothing bad happened, really. Yeah.
No, I mean, just like the decapitation of children and a beloved character actor. Then okay. And you don't get to direct for like 5 years and then you're back.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if Ryan Coogler blew up Charles Dance, it would have been a bigger problem than Landis decapitating Morrow.
Okay. Elliot, your second, is this or isn't it an ex person is Husk.
Yes. That's Paige Gerthy, Cannonball's younger sister, with the ability to rip herself apart and turn into just about anything.
Right on. Very
good. She also banged Angel in the air while her parents watched.
Okay. I was going to bring that up. She beat me to it.
You can't bring up Husk without that dark period during the, what was the name of the guy, the writer?
Chuck Austin.
Yeah, he also produced the first season of Steven's Universe.
Oh, I didn't really that guy?
That's crazy.
He just produced it, but yeah, I'm like, wait, Chuck Austin's connected with this? Shut the fuck up.
That was a really, really odd time for X-Men because they're also bringing in like a Japanese artist to do it in a more manga style. Mm-hmm. So everybody had these weird beaks. It was just a very odd, like, rudderless.
It was terrible. What he means, it was some bullshit. Yeah. It was awful.
Well, it was terrible, but it was weird. Like, on top of it. That's where Nightcrawler became the son of the devil.
Oh, shit. I remember reading about that.
Yeah. And make it bad about the Husk thing. Husk was like 16 and Angel was like 30.
Yeah. Well, Angel also had reverse AIDS, so if he bled on you, it brought you back to life. Remember that was a secondary mutation?
The secondary mutations. Yeah, that was.
He bleeds
so
unicorn
stupid.
Tears?
Basically. Yeah, he comes Phoenix down.
That's in the Final Fantasy remake, right?
I hope so. More jizz.
Yeah. We need, one thing we took away, more jizz in this game
more
series.
Jizz. Yeah, please.
Good job, Elliot. Your number three is Farsight. Is that an X-Man or is that something I made up?
I'm gonna go with made up because I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I did. I totally made it up. Okay. Good job. Well done on Minor Mutants, both of you. And we're
there
gonna
are
get
no
ready.
Minor Mutants.
Well, that's true.
They
only
all serve a purpose and the greater
what about
good.
Sammy Tarkazian or whatever. That's a minor mutant.
Who?
He was that fish boy that saved the Juggernaut from killing himself in that same Chuck Austin run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. And we can get rid of Marrow, too, and Maggot. Yeah, we don't need them anymore.
Marrow's the one that Marrow appeared in Marvel vs. Capcom, too. Just she's got bones out of her back.
Yeah, she can rip them off herself and use them as weapons.
Yeah.
What about Stacy X, the reptilian mutant hooker whose power was sexiness and pheromones? She's like Mandrill.
So she's kind of like the way Mystique has been portrayed in every single movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just like, I can just be sexy, so that's all I got. And it doesn't really matter. This is actually a really insanely overpowered ability and could break every plot that anyone ever writes. All right. Well, hey, guys. It's time for, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. So this week, my arbitrary question is, and Elliot, we'll start with you, why can't anyone get Gambit right in the films?
Why can't... How many films? He's only been in one film, and the proposed Channing Tatum.
Because, he was Taylor Kitsch. He's Taylor Kitsch in X3.
X2.
Oh, X2.
No. It's
No. Wolverine 2.
Wolverine Origins.
Right.
It was Origins? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was bad. I will say they can't get Gambit right for the same reason they can't get any of the X-Men right, because Fox does not understand the X-Men at all. They have a vague idea of the X-Men's powers. They know the only thing they get right are their names. And even then, I kind of question it. But personality-wise, no. Only they've gotten Wolverine right. Don't get me on a fuck Fox rant, because I hate those fucking...
Well, no, and it took... How many? There's like 7 Wolverine movies?
3.
Well, okay.
I think
X-Men movie was a Wolverine.
But I mean, Wolverine is a through line, a character who they went the deepest on, and the best iteration is in Logan, where you're like, oh, I actually get that this is a person who is, you know, sort of, they're obliged to do what they do because of the powers they have, and they wish they could get away from it, which I don't think is anything that you really even get from the original movie.
No, just bad.
I want to say, like, including the Deadpools and the Logans, there's like 12 X-Men movies. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And they're mostly all bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like it's a deep catalog. I remember, like, I feel like the last year or the year before, my wife went away for a weekend, and I watched like I watched First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse, like, over the course of an evening. And I was just blown. Like, First Class was kind of interesting, but it was still like, I didn't even, everything still felt like it was gimmicky, right? Like, I think that's the big thing. It felt like I was watching someone else's view of a comic book movie, which is to say, this isn't a serious thing. We're just making this happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, like, I think for all of the sameness of some of the Marvel movies, like, the best quality is that at least you sort of feel like the world is real. And
I don't know, man. I still like First Class, and I'll tell you, it's strictly because of the relationship between Xavier and Magneto.
That is the saving grace of that movie.
Magneto's entire arc in that first movie is really strong, and they don't, like, shy away from the Holocaust survivor part of it at all.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I think that, because there's a point when, like, Fassbender's Magneto, like, just wastes a bunch of people in a gruesome way.
Yeah, he goes to Argentina.
Yeah.
And
that meant something. Because that's sort of, I guess that's the thing, is like, no one's ever really dug to find the meat on the rest of the characters, because they just want to hang on Xavier's idealism versus Magneto's sort of pragmatic acceptance that people are inherently evil, and that's it.
Well, the way Bryan Singer says he wrote the movies is that...
With a boy's penis in his mouth.
I'm sorry. I'm not even going to lie. I knew a joke like that was going to happen. I'm like, Sean is going to make that joke. It's just one of those things that's going to happen. I just feel bad that I'm the one that set it up.
I appreciate it, though.
Sure.
Thank you for your service.
But he said he thought of action sequences, chose the characters needed to do that sequence, and then just wrote them into the script.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not how you tell a fucking story.
No.
And that's why none of the characters seem like they're real.
Yeah.
To anything tangible about them, other than Charles, Wolverine, and Magneto.
Yeah, I mean, he's writing these movies like Tina Belcher's friend fiction, right? Where it's just like,
yes,
this person needs to be in this scene. So they're going to be like this for this.
The person they always seem to botch the most is Cyclops, because, like, on the surface, he's an easy, like, he's just the old, like, stick-in-the-ass character. But he's got a lot of psychological trauma, like, a whole lot. And, like, you don't have time to devote to why he's the way he is. So, like, to make an X-Men movie, like, from the ground up, you almost have to do the Marvel thing and start with individual character movies and work your way up to the team dynamics, because, like, those characters, like, their continuity and their personality are so thick, like, you just can't get it across in an hour and a half.
Well, I will disagree with you, because they did it in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, I mean, but you could do, if you did it in smaller groups like that, even if it was just, this is just, like, legit no Xavier, no any, like maybe it's just Xavier appearing at the beginning of the movie, but you have just a high school movie with, you know, Scott and Jean and I don't know, a couple other characters.
Are you supposed to make a Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist X-Men movie?
I mean, kind of. I think that's the next step is to actually try to challenge the genre a little bit instead of just.
I think he wants to do Dawson's Creek with the X-Men, Xavier's Creek.
Now fuck it, just do a 500 Days of Summer with Scott and Jean.
Ooh. See that? I mean, that's something. Yeah, I mean, because I agree. Like, I always like Cyclops, but he just is always like the douchey rule follower character because everybody always like the focal point is always on Wolverine. So,
and that's when shit goes bad. I like when Wolverine wasn't the endo be all of the X-Men.
Yeah, because
Cyclops wasn't just a character that gave Wolverine shit.
Yeah, yeah,
Cyclops
no, exactly.
Is a kid whose parents were flying a plane, they got attacked by an alien spaceship, and he was kicked out of said plane with his brother in a parachute. And that's how he was orphaned. Like, that guy's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
him and Havoc are fucked up.
I mean, yeah. and just imagining that, like, the power set for Cyclops is so, I mean, it's so pervasive and so, it's psychologically damaging. Like, if you just at points could not control what you were looking at and whether it survived, mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy. Like, mm-hmm. There are so many interesting ways to create an origin story around his life post-orphaning. Where it's like, oh, I totally wasted a child that I was playing blocks with because I didn't know. And that's when whatever. I mean, probably not playing blocks. It's probably
puberty time. Yeah, he doesn't have control from a head trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like Danny Seau of the X-Men. Or the Aaron Hernandez, I guess, would be a more...
Damn, dog.
Wow. going hard.
He might be gay. We're not sure. I know we're way off topic here, but like,
I don't care.
That run of time where Alex kept dating women that also looked like Jean was kind of weird. Remember, he went through his redhead phase too, where he's dating Madeline Pryor and then like a couple other. I don't know. The whole Summers family is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and their dad's a space pirate.
Yeah. And Corsair is more coded queer than any character in the history of comic books. To include the Rawhide Kid. That mustache and, like, the Errol Flynn outfit and the headband and, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're trading on, like, 1920s pirate, which, you know, we know what people do when they're at sea, alone.
And maybe he has a girlfriend that's a cat lady, or maybe not, or maybe she's just a beard, I don't know. Like, there's a lot going on with Corsair.
I think they are a couple, but, you know, that would get into the whole thing where Beast bought the young X-Men back from the past, and he went and hung out with his dad in their own little series. And
oh, yeah. I love that they wrote their way into a corner making Cyclops the Malcolm X of the mutant universe, and then to fix it, they're like, we'll just bring in another one.
Seriously. And the whole they tried to paint him as this terrorist that killed off a bunch of Inhumans. Yeah. When really, the only people that died was one other X-Man.
Yeah,
it's like guys, his big horrible thing was a bunch of Inhumans didn't change into Inhumans, so they stay regular humans.
Yeah,
that's and they put that on par with Saddam. What's that?
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, damn. Did I just have to do sound effects for 9/11?
Yeah, the hand gesture for 9/11 was vivid, and we appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Well, like, the thing about Cyclops, is, like, especially the later on, he's like a very obvious parallel to Malcolm X, but they have the opportunity to write the next chapter of that story that obviously Malcolm doesn't get. You know, but they don't know what to do. It's like, okay, well, now he's like the militant mutant leader, and then younger clone, P-Power, I don't know. We don't know what to do.
And then they made him the bad guy, and Wolverine the good guy, and Wolverine opens up a school, and he's the head teacher of it.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite Spider-Man moments is, wait, you're a teacher? They let you around children?
Yeah, right?
Hey, Cap, did you know this guy's a teacher? And Wolverine's like, well, you just let it go. And Spider-Man turns around, looks at him. No, I will never, ever let this go. I was like, get him, Pete. Get him, Pete. Yeah, they made Wolverine an Avenger, for fuck's sake. God, yeah. I hate Wolverine. I don't hate Wolverine. I just hate the oversaturation of Wolverine.
It's a little too much. Like he's a little like yeah, he's a little too much.
Like how is he a member Star of three X-Men team and the Avenger and two solo books?
Rise and grind, is that the answer?
Right.
Or meth. A whole lot of
he's
meth.
He's like one of those Instagram entrepreneurs. It's like the Avengers. Like, sorry, Wolverine, we don't operate from the hours of 11:30 to 6.
He's got a lovely white backdrop with a plant wall behind him, and he's just talking about his day.
He's self-publishing books on, like, Think Yourself Rich.
Yeah. So Sean, you didn't get a chance to answer, but why can't the films get Gambit right?
Gambit is, I think, more so than any X-Men, is, like, a time capsule character. Like, everything about, he's like, you brought up Pucci earlier. He was everything that was cool in the 90s. And, like, I don't think you can extrapolate the character out of the costume very well. Because, like, he's another character that's had, like, a bizarre, like, post-90s run. Like, I think, was he Apocalypse for a while or some shit? And he was going to blow up the sun. And, like, the only thing, like, you really know about Gambit is, like, his wife was an assassin. And, like, he's had that weird relationship with Rogue. But I don't know a whole lot about him as a person. I just know he was, like, the height of, like, 90s cool. But Colorado ruined trench coats for everybody, so that's out. And I call it the Havoc helmet. I don't know what that article of clothing is, but the thing that covers your forehead.
Yeah, like, it goes over the ears, around the forehead as a headband, and under the chin. And covers the neck, but somehow lets the hair out and the eyes and mouth are out. Yeah.
Yeah, the second generation Havoc had that too. And it's just like, that's not fucking cool.
No, that's like, not even practical.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I guess you could do like a down and dirty kind of like New Orleans underground movie with him. Like a, I don't know, this is going to be a weird comparison. It's not New Orleans, but if you did like, did you ever see the documentary Dogfight by Billy Corbin about like the underground street fights in Miami? If you had that kind of like gritty kind of like, Craig Brewer-ish setting, maybe you could do something with it. But okay. it's just something we all thought was cool when we were kids, and I don't know if it reaches out. I don't know if it's like culturally relevant in the same way that like Wolverine is. Everybody knows who Wolverine is.
Speaking of Wolverine, have you guys listened to the podcast, the two Wolverine podcasts?
No,
Long Night and the second one I can't remember, because Gambit is a character in that. And like they both had left the X-Men and meet each other up and fight each other. And Gambit is like just stealing everything. And Wolverine's like, get a lady back her watch. God damn it, Logan, shut up. it's almost like kleptomania.
Yeah.
That was a good take on Gambit to make him seem more real and take him out of that, because also you don't see him but you're hearing the voice and everything, and it showed that they can actually make Gambit interesting. And
I think the only time I was really like interested in Gambit as a character was Elliot, you'll probably remember this, I don't know if you will, Nate, when Bishop came from the future and he saw him, and like they thought he was the witness, they thought he was the guy that killed all the X-Men in the future. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it turned out not to be him, but I thought that was interesting, the idea that like he was this ticking time bomb that may or may not try to kill all of them at one point or another.
Yeah, the whole mutant traitor thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it ended up, I mentioned it earlier, that he's the one that put together the Marauders for Mr. Yeah. Sinister, and he had to go on trial for that. I used to want to write an X-Men story called, kind of based off of Shawshank Redemption, called Remy's Redemption, where he's like in prison and have to deal with the Sisterhood of Evil Mutants. And just this whole redemption story of Remy having to get out of the raft or the cube or one of the Marvel prisons.
Yeah. I think that would work much better than a movie than what they would ever end up eventually doing at Fox.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem. I think, Sean, you hit it on the head with it. It is an encapsulation of everything that was cool in the 90s. Like, he has... In the cartoon and in every other depiction I've seen, he has like a bow staff, which is a weapon that like no one really actually wants to have, but it's sort of, it was cool in the 90s post Ninja Turtles. It was like, okay, so he's like, he's Donatello, but he's also Raphael, and he can make playing cards into projectile weapons, and he's got floppy cool 90210 hair. So he's just like all across the board.
He's extreme.
Yeah, he really is.
He's not extreme like Adam Extreme was extreme, but I think he's
an interesting character. But it's interesting like figuring out a way to ground him. And Elliot, I think you made a really good point about trying to ground him in some sort of personal redemptive story where he's breaking out of something.
Yeah,
because then you'd sort of, I mean, there are a lot of ways that he could be interesting, especially in like a heist sort of film or a prison break film, because the ability to like energize physical objects and being able to do that creatively without being too plot contrived is really interesting. Because in like a straight up battle, it almost makes things a little too easy. Like, oh, everything that's around me, I can make into a bomb. So I'm not really concerned about any trouble. Yeah. And besides, I think Taylor Kitsch was a bad call for the movies. And I think Channing Tatum's not really the right person either. Like, I don't know.
Like, you didn't like Friday Night Lights?
I mean, I did, but I still don't think Taylor Kitsch is like, he's not that actor. Like, we all heard his accent. He was horrible. Great job. I'm going to give you each a point for that. That was very good. And we're going to get into the final round. So for the final round, Ellie, we'll start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Cyberno, spelled Cyberno, or Cyberno? I'll give you two pronunciations. Do you have a vague idea about that?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Make feel free to make something up if you got anything, or we can just talk about it.
See, Cyberno was a member of the Phalanx Covenant, and they're like all these techno-organic things. And they come down and they like cling to your chest and you try to pull them off and they're like, no, 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 no. And they're like, nah, cyber, cyber, cyber. We're going to turn you into a techno-organic thing, cyber. And you're like, no, no. And eventually no doesn't mean no to them. And they just take over. Oh God, I feel bad. I'm sorry. I made that comment.
What you did is capture pretty much, I think, how everyone's AOL Instant Messenger experience went around 1998. Cyber, cyber, cyber. No, no, no. And it still had to happen. Good job, Sean. Cyberno?
Yeah, Cyberno was like an organism created by Doug Ramsey Cypher in one of the Excalibur comics to actually coach him on how to hit on Rachel Summers, who's also in Excalibur. So it was a play on Cyrano de Bergerac, but it was a robot. And Doug Ramsey's always had like a robot companion, like with Warlock. I guess Warlock's not technically a robot, but he's all, you know, he's a technopath also, in addition to being a language guy. So he actually had to program an AI to coach him on how to hit on Rachel. It did not work.
I really like that. And convincingly delivered too.
No, I've never heard of Cyberno.
Yeah. So,
dude, I thought you were telling the truth.
Right? I know. He did a great job, because I was like, I would totally read that. I was about to be like, this could be the other answer that I didn't know. The answer I was looking for is that Cyberno was the first name of Cerebro in early versions of the X-Men in the Jack Kirby era. So Cyberno was something that had been cobbled together that didn't work on telepathy. It just worked on energy. So let's just talk about Cerebro for a second, because when I was kind of doing a little research to put this episode together, like, I found out that there was an era in the Jack Kirby era where Cerebro was punch card based, like Apu's thesis, honors thesis from Calcutta U.
Yeah.
So I was like, can you imagine how amazing it would be to try to track mutants down through a series of punch cards?
Cerebro, the name, always reminded me of like a black telepath Jim Shooter would have came up with in like 1984. Like he got to, like, Shooter was a hustler, so he'd get some kind of like deal with like Fila or something, and like, we gotta make Cerebro the Fila wearing superhero.
Speaking of Cerebro, I think I've been having this debate. I even went off on a rant about it one or two in Nep Supervillains podcast ago. Professor X really didn't use Cerebro to the best of his ability. Think about it. He could have used Cerebro, projected himself into every human on Earth's brain, said, hey, this is God, cut the shit, and brought about world peace. Well, he literally had the ability to bring about world peace.
That, like, it doesn't seem like anybody ever questions how, if it's ethical or not to use this, like, what's basically a super satellite that can communicate with every single person on the planet. Like, the, I know, like, he's just, like, just the kind of, like, the moral ramifications of being him, just being able to, like, I know he can train himself out, but just, like, that he can intercept any stray thought as he walks by, but the ability to do it all at once and track people like that, like, is some Big Brother Patriot Act shit that I don't think, at least not that I've read, that they ever really get into, they can make a really serious story about.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that would be an interesting, that's an interesting series of Marvel X-Men movies right there, which is just like, we start on civilians who understand that, oh, the X-Men have the ability to like read all of our thoughts all the time and we don't like it. And there's your movie. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It becomes kind of a political thriller, kind of a, you know, you don't even have to, because I think one of the things I'm looking for in superhero movies coming up is less leaning on, you know, story build, action sequence, story build, action sequence, final blowout, action sequence, because it's a little boring. I mean, I'd love to see something where they just did a little more like, like Captain America Winter Soldier was a good movie in because it was pretty calm, and like even the action beats were smaller and more contained, and it was a little more like chase sequences. Like, I think that's interesting.
So what you want is like The Conversation, the Gene Hackman movie, but with Charles Xavier?
Yeah, actually, that sounds fucking awesome. Like, I would love that. I think that'd be real cool. Especially if at the end, you know, Professor X just picks his saxophone up and he's playing in his dilapidated New York apartment that he's stripped of everything.
You just brought up how they can bring the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Professor X has just been blocking the world from noticing mutants. If the X-Men and the Brotherhood have a fight, he just erases everybody's mind and about whatever happened.
Say, oh my God,
it was a terrorist attack. Oh no, it was a gas leak.
It was the Chitauri.
I think you've got something. This is really smart because they could go back and say, hey, we're gonna, I mean, because here the other end is like, okay, we ran everything to an endpoint with Endgame, and we're trying to figure out how to cobble a new, I'm sure they're gonna cobble something together, it'll probably be fine. But like,
You can really make, in that theory, you can make the X-Men the nominal villains, at least at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't like to see Avengers versus X-Men as a movie? That would be fucking cool.
Yeah. I'm like, he's been in our mind making us think things and erasing thoughts. We can't trust mutants. And we don't, there you have the...
What is... Yeah, is this even reality? Like, what did this actually happen? Why did Hulk look like this guy and then 2 years later he looked like that guy? Like, why don't we remember that?
Yeah. I love the idea of
the distrust of mutants.
Yeah.
There we go.
I love the idea of them.
We should write for Marvel.
Yeah. Let's get them on the phone.
Mr. Golkowski, there is way too much just man sex in this movie.
No, but see, they forget about it right after, so they have to do it again. That's because Professor X is erasing them. It's like The Room, and we're just using the same sex scene over and over again, and it's 5 minutes long.
In the script just says, naked Michael Jai White. That's all we got.
Who would Michael Jai White play, Bishop? It's not too many brothers in the X-Men.
Cyclops?
Yeah, I think we could totally mix it up. We should just, you got to reboot the whole thing that way too. Like, you know.
I mean
none of the first class people need to keep having these jobs either. Like, they're boring. Like get them all out.
They all
got to
go.
Let's start over.
Although, keep Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
I would keep McAvoy and Fassbender, honestly, if I could.
No, fuck them.
Because, well, they're going to age into the roles making more and more sense in later movies. But we could also,
I don't know, maybe get Ben Mendelsohn for Magneto.
Ooh, yeah, that's interesting. I like that. Man, yeah, see, they gotta hire us. We just came up with a really good way to do this. Plus, you just get to say, like, hey, there were no plot holes in any of the Marvel movies because they were all because Charles Xavier was erasing everyone's
memory.
There you
go. That's why time makes no sense in any of the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. Very good. Elliot, I'm gonna give you 4 points for Les Choses Francais Arbitraire, and Sean, 2 points. And guys, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the game. Rocket's going to bark in the background.
With that rocket.
Yeah. Rocket, you got to bring it down. I know somebody's cranking the bass. It's okay. So guys, thank you so much for being on. This was a lot of fun. Glad we got to thank do you. This finally. And hopefully we can do it again because, you know, the power of the internet allows us to have these. And let's do
minority superheroes.
Ooh, okay.
Dude, that's just going to be a lot of skateboards and electricity.
Yeah, I remember talking to a buddy of mine, a black guy who was an artist. He's like, you got to understand that black people, or electricity is black people's main weakness. We love that shit.
So many black superheroes.
Why has that become a trope?
I don't know. Even Miles Morales, Spider-Man has it.
Yeah, he's got it. Static.
I would say because it looks cool. You can do cool looking things with the power. You know.
I guess. But like the only other
Than that, that's the only thing I get. The very first character I created based on myself during the Mutant Registration Act, when they had that whole campaign going, I created a character named Sparks that, guess what, had electricity.
I just miss when they used to give
like and a flying hoverboard too.
What was that?
I hate myself.
Does Night Thrasher also have secret electrical abilities, or what was his sister's name? Silhouette.
I don't think he did.
Okay.
Nah, Night Thrasher was just, I don't think he had powers, did he?
No, he was like some kind of boy genius corporate mogul, right? Like, did he own his own
company? I just thought he was a mean brother with a skateboard.
No, I think he's like a Tony Stark analog.
Oh, I thought he was more Darby Allin.
But
Darby Allin's a professional wrestler and skateboarder.
Yeah, when they would give all the black superheroes like government names that were like Lincoln Jefferson, shit like that.
I mean, I would assume that like electricity is appealing because it's literally like it's power in the literal sense that we experience power in most of our lives, and it seems most applicable to everything. Like if you can control electricity, you can fuck up pretty much all things that are happening at all points in time. Like
and using other it than looks cool
campfire. Like there are a few things that you can mess with. Yeah, and it looks cool and it can be non-lethal and lethal. I don't know. It seems it's got a wide range of
and gives you an easy weakness, water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you think that's what it is?
That's pretty racist then, right? Because
The
Root did an article on it. I just remembered that. They did a thing on why every black character got electricity. And please help me out. Oh gosh, Sean, black comic book writer, worked on the Justice League cartoons.
Dwayne McDuffie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He was creating characters for Marvel and they kept saying, all right, this character needs a skateboard. He's like, why? Black people don't really skateboard like that. We're not really into them that way.
No, and I mean,
they just saw it was just an urban thing.
Well, they're poochying. That's all they're doing.
Yeah. The poochie effect.
The poochie effect. God damn it. Well, guys, so the final scores. Elliot, you had 17 points. Very, very good. And Sean, you have won with 19. So congratulations, Sean.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to do in a victory lap during this portion of the show?
No, but I mean, of course the scores are always going to be subject since we're basically lovers. Like, that's not, like, I don't think it's really fair.
It's true. But, it's true. There's a whole lot of bias.
No, just your victory. I feel like I'm on a pardon the interruption. Donate to bail funds. Like, yeah. That's all I got.
Right on. Right on. Elliot, anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
Yes. Look in your areas. A lot of the areas that were looted, the stores were burnt or whatever, destroyed. People in those areas need food, but they also need like soap, tampons, just general toilet paper, paper towels. If you can donate any of those things, they'll be needed. Especially in a time of COVID.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All this. Don't just give food, give necessities. to your local drives at every state. And if your alderman isn't organizing some, get on his ass.
Damn right.
Tell him Black Lives Matter. And if he says All Lives Matter, I'm like, that ain't true, because I have to say Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Black lives,
all
do
lives matter.
Matter.
That's, we wouldn't have this discussion.
Don't let him get away with just painting it on a street and trying to call it even.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks nice, but
Yeah. We need to get past our performative era of time, which I think somehow and I feel like our generation, shared generations, have experienced this uniquely because we all kind of got brought up in a time where it was like, hey, don't worry about it. And then it was like, okay, it's fixed. And the truth is, like, everything has been completely on the face, if that at all. Like, there's absolutely, well, you know, everything is about sweeping stuff fixed under the rug.
I saw no signs of anything being fixed.
Yeah. I genuinely thought, like, by the time I was 30, racism would be pretty much over with.
Right. I mean, like, I felt the same way. I thought, like, oh, cool. I'm living in a time when we're actually moving toward a Star Trek-esque utopian society. No, did not happen. And is not happening. Like, there's actively people, you know, fighting it all the time, which is just fucking bullshit. So,
yeah, spiraling towards dystopia. Yeah.
Well, at least we've got Antifa super soldiers now, so that's a step forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love the tests. We finally turned a duck into a super duck. Jason X.
Yeah, we are Jason.
guys, thank you so much for being on the show again. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Like, I love that, and I listen to you know, your podcast, Elliot. I listen to Movie the Podcast every time it pops up. I just would not recommend.
Like,
I mean, it's the thing is, like, regardless of recommending or not, like, I like spending time with you guys, and that's what it feels like. Like, I feel like I get to spend an hour and a half hanging out with you. And I mean, honestly, like, people probably assume I'm crazy because I'll be walking around, walking the dog, listening to these and just talking to you, like, just barking at the radio. Like, yeah, I can totally respond to this conversation. So it's great. I'm really happy that we got to do this. And we'll do it again because there's nothing stopping us, you know?
Sweet.
Listeners of the show. Well, Sean, what do you have to say?
I was just saying, you boys be safe. I didn't love you. Didn't have anything else.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, cool. I'll do a little show outro thing. Listeners of the show, if you like this program, please subscribe, rate, and review us. That would be very helpful. Also, big thanks to Michael J. O'Connor, who wrote our theme song that you heard at the top of the show. And you guys be sure to check out Movie the Podcast and the Inept Supervillains Podcast, both on Mole Hole Radio, which you can find at moleholeradio.com and wherever podcasts are sold. And make sure that you donate to Black Lives Matter and to bail funds, and that you step up. Like, even if you don't go out to march or protest, like, you have to press. So write your local officials, make phone calls, be annoying, like, be out there and push people, because they will listen if we hit them on all sides. They have
and
to
argue eventually with your racist uncle, because fuck them.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the other big thing, right? Is, like, really talk to your family, because it's time. Like, you can't keep just going, oh, it's this so-and-so doesn't get it and that's okay. Like, we have to have conversations, no matter how difficult or even just, like, simple they are, is saying, like, hey, I know that things were different in the 60s, but they didn't change. So shut up. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, do your part. So, and yeah, otherwise, everybody just be good to each other to the best of your ability, because we're all in this together. We're all going
unless
down together. Go ahead, John.
Cop, then you can suck a dick.
Well, yeah.
Or whatever genital you don't prefer to suck on, do that, because fuck you.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. And just take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Night.
Toodles.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.